ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट 33, the chapter 3, sorry, and the text, the chapter is entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders His Life. Bhime Naham Niryat Padachyuto Napash Bandhat Vasanad Durtaya नैवात कृच्छ्राद भवतो विनिग्रहात् असाधुवादात् भृशम् उद्विजेयथा। सो विल टेक वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। बिभेमी, आई डू फियर, न नॉट, अहम, आई, निर्यात, फ्रॉम अ पोजिशन in hell, pad achyutaha, not do I fear being deprived of my position, na, nor, pashbandhat, from being arrested by the ropes of Varuna, vyasanat, nor from the distress, durattayat, which was unbearable for me, na, nor, eva, certainly, arthakrichrat, because of poverty or scarcity of money, bhavatah, of your lordship, virigrahat, from the punishment I am now suffering, asadhuvadat, from defamation, Brisham, very much. Udvijay, I become anxious. Yatha, as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you, as much as I fear defamation. Purport. Although Bali Maharaj fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not tolerate being defamed for cheating a Brahman Brahmachari. Being quite alert in regard to his reputation, he thought deeply about how to prevent being defamed. The Lord therefore gave him the good counsel to prevent defamation by offering his head. A Vaishnava does not fear any punishment. नारायण परः सर्वे न कुटश्चन भिव्यति। भागवतम 6.17.28। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaur Tushe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishbhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bibemi naham niryad baddha uchyuto Napash bandhat vesanad durattayat Naivat krichrad bhavato vinigrahat Asadu vadad brisham udvijayatha. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you as much as I fear defamation. Hare Krishna. So I would take this opportunity to express my gratitude that I have been given a chance to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam to glorify Krishna in this holy land of Vrindavan. So seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially Bhakti Ashraya Janadhar Swami Maharaj and all the senior Vaishnavas here. Just like to speak on this verse according to my capacity. So we have come to a very interesting juncture of this narration, and as Radhakant Prabhu was saying, this is the climax. So what do you think is the climax here? What exactly is happening? Why it is the climax? I would agree with him it's the climax, but why exactly it's the climax? Anyone would like to volunteer? Yes, Prabhu. Okay, one of the reasons is he is saying that the promise has been given for three steps and the whole universe has been covered in two steps. So it's going to be very interesting to know what is going to be the third step. Yeah? I'm looking for something more. Anyone else? Yeah, this is one of the external reasons. Huh? Full surrender. Okay, we are going to see what is going to be the full surrender. But what is really interesting is, you know, everybody is looking for something happening in this world. Why are people so addicted to WhatsApp and social media and Facebook? Why are they so glued to this? To news, to newspapers? Why do you think so they are so glued to it? Because everyone is looking for something happening, some juice, right? And at this juncture, something is going to happen. What is going to happen is Bali Maharaj, who is coming from a aspiric background, who is a devotee of the Lord, is now going to be transformed. Right? He is going to become from a novel devotee of Lord Vishnu to a Mahajan. That is the climax. So externally, yes, it's very interesting that something is going to happen. What is going to happen? The question is going to be answered. Two steps, everything has been taken. What is going to be the third step? But more interesting is that how this transformation is going to be taking place. That's what is going to be expressed in these verses. You know, Gaudiya Maharaj gave this very nice explanation for the fainting of Ramananda Rai when he was talking, having a discussion with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the banks of Godavari. Now Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Sakhi, so he knows the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's not surprised when he's actually having the discussion with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he expresses that, you know, you are just making me a puppet in your hand and I'm just answering to your questions. So after whole of the discussion has taken place, why does Ramananda Rai faint? He knows it's Shri Krishna who has taken the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Gaura Govind Maharaj gives this explanation. He says he faints because he actually sees that how Krishna is taking on the mood of Srimati Radharani. How Srimati Radharani is actually entering into the heart of Shri Krishna. And how the transformation takes place from Krishna to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is actually able to perceive that. He gets that vision, that perception is there. And when he looks at that, he faints. So here, what is going to happen? Is Bali Maharaj, who is a devotee, who is the great grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, is now going to transform into a Mahajan. And how that is going to happen? So if you just see, I am just going to start from the previous verses, the first and the second verse. So the first verse does not have a purport. Prabhupada actually gives the purport in the summary of the chapter. So here the first verse says, Shukdev Goswami is saying, O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously towards Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination. Considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise, he spoke as follows. Now apparently the verse is very simple. Prabhupada gives an explanation of this verse in the summary, and that's very interesting. And he says, Bali Maharaj specifically remembered the determination of Prahlad Maharaj in devotional service. So this is what is happening. Utsa nishchet dhairyat. So Bali Maharaj, when this charity is being begged, and he's actually perceiving now he's going to fail, then he's going to offer the third step. So what happens? He remembers all his ancestors. The determination of Hiranyaksha, the determination of Hiranyakashipu, the determination is there, but it's in enmity towards the Lord. So he specifically remembers the determination of Prahlad Maharaj. Remembering this determination, he himself becomes determined. You know, someone was asking that how do we actually come to this level? And definitely it's not a thing that's going to happen in a jiffy. It can. But usually it takes some time, you know. Like for Khatwang Maharaj it was just in a muhurat. For Dhruv Maharaj it was 6 months. For Bharat Maharaj it was 3 lifetimes. So it's up to us. And here now, Bali Maharaj is remembering the determination of Prahlad Maharaj. That is what he's specifically remembering. That's the first thing that's going to really push him towards becoming a Mahajan. And it is very interesting that when Bali Maharaj comes, when Vamandev actually approaches the sacrificial arena, he's in a dilemma. The dilemma is this. He already knows that he is going to snatch away all the opulence of Bali Maharaj. But Lakshmi Devi is sitting on his chest. Yeah, the Shrivat sign is there. So Vamandev has this, all the offerings that have been offered as soon as he's born. He has this belt, the Meghala. He has this deer skin, the Uttari, which he uses as an Uttari. He has the Brahma Dand. The dand of the brahmachari, he has a water pot, he has this umbrella, and with this beautiful blackest complexion, the smile on his face, is approaching Bali Maharaj. But in his mind, and this is by the commentary of Vedanta Desika, one of the Sri Vaishnava acharyas, in his mind he is actually contemplating. He says, my whole idea is to take away all the opulences of Bali Maharaj, but how can I do it? Because Lakshmi Devi is sitting on my chest and she is going to glance on Bali Maharaj. If her glance is on Bali Maharaj, how can I take away his opulences? It's just not possible. I cannot defy her grace. So what he does is, you know, usually if you see the pujari, when he wears the uttari, he covers the Brahman thread, right? So he wears over his left shoulder. So when he wears it, the right part is still open. So this is where the Shrivats is. So what Vamandev does is actually wears his uttari ulta. Right? He reverses the position. So that the Shri, the Shrivats chinna is covered. So Lakshmi does not glance. And when he approaches, now he is confident, you know, now that he's, she's not glances, actually I can take away, I can snatch away all the... But what happens is, Lakshmi Devi thinks, what is Vamandev doing? Why is he covering me? You know, she can't just resist. He says, whom is he going to meet? Who is this personality? You know, he's trying to hide away my presence from him. And because of this curiosity, and of course, because of how the potency is flowing from Prahlad Maharaj, she actually peeps. She actually peeps through the Uttari and looks at Bali Maharaj. And so externally, though Bali Maharaj actually, though Vamandeva actually is trying to snatch away, Mother Fortune has already glanced on him. And what is the real fortune that he has achieved because of that? Because of the Ladini potency actually glancing on him, he achieves pure devotional service. He is actually able to take a step forward to make that surrender. This Devi Prakriti actually, you know, Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Devim Prakritim Ashritam. He has actually taken the shelter of Prahlad Maharaj, who himself is taken the shelter of the Ladini potency. So with that determination, when he looks, he decides on his, you know, he decides something, and when Mother Ladini herself, Lakshmi herself glances, he is able to make this progress. Krishna then gives him the intelligence of how you can give the third step, you know. So this is what is happening. This is what is actually manifesting. So now for a sadhaka, as you know, and I'll take these two questions that were asked in the previous classes as the impetus for moving forward in the class. Someone asked, I think Prabhuji asked there, that for a normal sadhaka, it's not so easy to make that leap in faith, you know. So how does he do it? It's very inspiring. It's very inspiring to hear such stories. But how does one apply in life? We can see that the Shraddha of Bali Maharaj is taking a leap here. And we can also understand how the leap has taken place. Is he gets this determination because of meditating on the determination of Prahlad Maharaj, and we have you know, the Ladini Shakti bestowing his mercy upon him. So how does the sadhaka actually attract this mercy? You know, so this word Shraddha, the etymological meaning, actually, you know, it comes from Sat. Sat means truth, and Dha means to hold on. To hold on to the truth. Or actually to perceive the truth in the heart and to hold on to it. Many more meanings we can have. But Krishna, that's why he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Buddh Bhava Samanvita. He says, the intelligent people, how they worship me? They worship me with their hearts. So ultimately one will get where his heart is placed. So we have here Lord Indra, for whom apparently the Lord has appeared. You know, he has given this vow, he has given this promise to Diti, that yes, you have desired that you want the kingdom back for your sons. So I will fulfill your desire. But you know, it seems, as Jayadev Goswami says, that Chaliyasi. Yeah. So he is actually cheating. Chaliyasi Vikrame Bali. So he's actually, you know, cheating. It appears that he's cheating Bali Maharaj. But is he actually cheating Bali Maharaj? No. So Bali Maharaj, now this is his perception. Very interesting. You know, Bali Maharaj, you know, when he's thinking of Prahlad Maharaj, what is he thinking? He's saying, look at Prahlad. You know, look at Prahlad. He went through so many obstacles. You know, he was put among the elephants, and the elephants actually came charging to him, and Prahlad Maharaj just folded his hands. Looking at that, actually the elephants' hearts melted, and instead of actually trampling upon Prahlad Maharaj, they lifted him with his trunks and placed him on his back. You know, Hiranyakashipu actually pushed him. He pushed him inside a room which was filled with snakes. And what was Prahlad Maharaj visualizing? Oh, this is the bedstead of my lord. Not different from an Anshesh. He was put in the poison, he was given the poison. What was he perceiving the poison as? Oh, this poison is my uncle. Yeah? Because he comes from Sagar, from the Samudra Manthan. And Lakshmi Devi also comes, so he's the brother. So, ye mere mama hai. This was his perception. He throws him from the valley. So when he's falling down, saying, oh, this Bhumidevi, she's my mother. So what's, it's great fun to just, you know, like fall in the lap of Bhumidevi. But this, and that is why he's actually able to take in all these obstacles. It's not an intellectual adjustment. He's able to perceive this. This perception is given by the mercy of the Lord that is flowing. So the Lord actually protects Prahlad Maharaj in different ways. He protects him in his womb. You know, through Narad Muni, his representative, he says, no, he's a Mahabhagavat in the womb. Please don't do anything to him. Then he protects by giving him instructions. Yeah, that is why Prahlad Maharaj actually stays in the womb for thousands of years, you know, because Hiranyakashipu has gone and performs tapasya for thousands of years. That's what the Bhagavad says. And Kayadhu is pregnant by then. So where is Prahlad Maharaj for all these years? He's actually in the womb. He's actually in the womb of Kayadhu. Why is he in the womb? Because he's hearing this Bhagavatam from Sri Narad Muni. And he's so absorbed in rapt attention. He doesn't want to come out. He doesn't want to fall into Maya. He knows when he comes out, it's going to be Maya all the way. He doesn't want to come out. So for 1,000 years, he's just there. So he gives his instructions. He protects Prahlad Maharaj like this. But he actually protects Prahlad Maharaj by filling his heart with ecstasy. Because of the ecstasy that is imbued, the Ladini Shakti that is imbued by the grace of the Lord, his heart is so full that he's actually not able to perceive these obstacles. They don't exist for him. It's not there. Right? And why I'm taking this point also, because Prabhupada mentions in the purport that, you know, he becomes fearless. He's not fearful, except for defamation. Yeah? So these qualities actually that a devotee gains is not by his external endeavor. Right? Every morning he's saying that Gunagana Dhamma. Because the Lord is a reservoir of all these qualities, when he bestows his mercy upon the devotee, it is the shower of mercy that actually makes these qualities appear in full in the heart of a devotee. Right? That is why the devotee actually does not perceive these obstacles. What he perceives these obstacles is as the mercy of the Lord. Right? This is what he is remembering. This is what actually Bali Maharaj is remembering. No, and remembering that, he actually is attracting the mercy of the Ladini Potency by following the Mahajan. Mahajan yana gata supanta. So he is showing by his example how for a sadhaka, yeah, by following in the footsteps of the Mahajan. So you may not have that conviction right in the beginning, but we can make big determinations for small things, right? Just following the regulative principles, chanting rounds, coming for Mangalarti, you know, doing Vaishnav Seva and preaching according to what our capacity is. You know, sharing this to what our capacity is. But the conviction actually starts condensing because of the experience that a devotee gains by following these regulations. It's not about the regulations itself, it's not about the sadhana itself, it's not about the rituals itself, but the experience that the devotee gains by following this, when his consciousness is uplifted by following these regulations. Yeah, so Shukdev Goswami, when Sut Goswami is actually remembering Shukdev Goswami before making this narration, he says three qualities of Shukdev Maharaj. What he says? He says that he has this ability to enter into heart of every living entity. Right? Hriday Sarva Bhutana. And so Anubhavena. He has this experience. Right? And Karunya. He has this compassion. Because he's experienced the Supreme Lord. He's experienced the Bhagavat. What is Bhagavat? You know, the Skand Puran gives a broader definition of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's nothing but the words emanating from the heart of a devotee, of a pure devotee. That is the broader definition of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So it is this experience that when it is shared, that actually spills over to the devotees. So when actually with all your sincerity you're serving the Mahabhagavatas, you're serving the Mahajans, what is happening? Because you're attracting their blessings, this blessing spills over as the ecstasy of their heart, which actually is given to the devotee who's serving. Right? So when he's actually remembering Prahlad Maharaj, this is what is happening. You know, when Sudama Vipra, he goes to beg something from Lord Krishna. He doesn't want to beg, actually. That's not his heart. That is secondary for him. But on the instance of his wife, and the wife also actually does not want to beg. She's just saying, just for you, you know, so that you can sustain your body and life and you can perform a devotional service. Now, when Sudama Brahman actually goes there, and Krishna looks from him from very far, very interesting, and he does not wait. Krishna just goes and, you know, catches his hand. And Sudama for a moment thinks, you know, I hope it's not mistaken identity. You know, probably he's waiting for someone and he has mistook me. So before he can actually ask and confirm that, you know, Krishna starts narrating all his childhood pastimes, and he's amazed. Oh, Krishna still remembers me. You know, it's not very easy. You know, like I just had this get together of our 10th standard you know, classmates. We had just completed 25 years about 4 years back, and they called me for this get together, and I thought, okay, it's a good opportunity and I can share with them, you know, Krishna consciousness. And there was this friend of mine, he was speaking with me for hours and hours, you know, of what we did and what we didn't do. And the only thing that was disturbing my mind is, I just can't remember his name. You know, and he's going on speaking for hours and hours, and I'm like, yes, 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 you know, yeah, yeah, yeah. But all the time I'm really thinking, what's his name? I just can't remember it. You know, and Krishna, he's become a king now. He's not just a Gurukul boy. He has so many subjects. He has a family which runs into millions and millions. And Sudama is just want to be sure, does Krishna really remember me? You know, Krishna gets him on his own throne, sits him there, washes his foot, and the goddess of fortune is actually fanning. It becomes the gossip of the palace, you know. This is the thing that's happening. Everybody's, oh, you know what's happening? There is this poor beggar that's come and everybody's discussing about him, but Krishna has put him on his throne. And Sudama just forgets why he's come here. Right? And when he's going back, he does not ask anything. So externally it seems, Sudama's whole mission of coming to Krishna has failed. It's a failure. But Sudama, and the acharyas are saying, Sudama, when he's returning back, he's like, yes, it's victory. I'm successful. It's great. And he's dancing all the way. Why is he dancing all the way? And the acharyas give this wonderful explanation. He says, because the Shabd Praman has become Anubhav for him, has become an experience. And what is the Shabd Praman he's thinking? He's thinking, Namo Brahmane Devaya, Go Brahmanitaya, Jagatitaya, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namo. For years I've been reciting this, but today I've seen how the Lord is actually favorably disposed to the Brahmanas. Today I have experienced that. And it is that experience that has filled his heart. So externally he's actually a failure, but internally he's just jubilant. And Krishna is such a master at reciprocation that at the same time, it's the wife who has actually asked for the external opulence. So he gives this opulence to the wife. So it's the wife who actually perceives this external opulence before Sudama does. So she's happy. Oh wow, Krishna has reciprocated for my desire. So Krishna is so expert at reciprocating. And this is what is actually happening. Bali Maharaj says, no, my dear Lord, you're not cheating me. You're not cheating me. You actually have cheated Indra. The world may think that you have cheated me, but you have cheated Indra. Why? Because you have just given them a drop of your mercy. But you have filled my heart with the mercy of your love. You have deprived them. You have deprived them of this mercy. So in the story of Gopinath Patnaik, you know, Gopinath Patnaik is actually, he's put on the changa. And so all the things happen. I'm not reading the whole story. But when they go to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he has been saved, he says, my Lord, you have cheated me. So though Gopinath Patnaik is actually saved from the changa. And remember, a very interesting thing is, you know, here many times in the Bhagavad, you know, we take it quite black and white. Oh, these are asuras, these are demons, and these are devotees. And so, you know, the Lord is supporting the devotees, he's not supporting the demons. It becomes a bit black and white. But when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's all devotees. And it's in this association that the mercy of the Lord is actually manifesting. Very relevant for the sadhakas. So if you see the story of Gopinath Patnaik, it's all devotees. It's the Barajana who's actually put him on the changa. The Barajana is a pure devotee because he's actually received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? by the embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's already received that mercy. So he's a pure devotee, and we have Gopinath Patnaik, he's a pure devotee, and we have the king, he's a pure devotee. So these are all pure devotees who are, you know, involved in this this drama. But still, after the mercy of the Lord is bestowed upon Gopinath Patnaik, he says, no, you have actually cheated me, my Lord. The real mercy you have bestowed upon Ramanand Rai, because you have made his heart detached to material opulence, and I still maintain that attachment. Yeah, so Krishna says, yeah, he says, Ami Vigya, no, he says, what is it? Sei Murk Ami Vigya. Vishekena Diba. So Chandamrit Diba, Vishai Bulaiva. Says, if someone approaches me with a desire, with some material desire, I say, what a foolish person, you know. He's coming to me and he's still having this material desire. Okay, so I fulfill his desire, but in such a way that all his material attachment is removed. So Gopinath Patnaik is actually, you know, he's lamenting this. So this is what even Bali Maharaj is actually saying. He says, no, my Lord, it's not that I have been cheated. You have actually cheated Indra. The world may not understand this, but I can appreciate that. I can really appreciate that. So for a sadhaka, when he continues with such determination, yeah, small steps at the beginning, definitely he will get the glimpse, and with this experiences he is pushed forward. That's the progenitor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, with Krishna he put so many conditions. No, he says yogamaya nivritti, you know, I cover the person with my yogamaya potency. He's not able to perceive me. He says, no, first surrender to me. Yeah, sarva dharma pratyajya. So he's putting conditions, but with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why we take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yeah, he's just like a drunken man is intoxicated by the love of Srimati Radharani. A drunken man is not able to actually differentiate of what is right and what is wrong. He's just bestowing, he's just giving his mercy off, right? So one who takes shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can very easily perceive this mercy, and that is why we approach the Bhagavatam through the narrative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he bestows. It's just like a mother, you know, she may want to get something done from the child, and she will say, beta aap ye karoge na to main aapko ye mithai dungi, right? And she says, yeah, oh, it's a good impetus. So Krishna is like that. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a mother, says, ye mithai le le aur chal kaam kar, right? Take this. So he bestows the taste before. You don't really have to wait. Right in the beginning of devotional service, you all are here, means definitely you have tasted devotional service to a certain extent, right? And that's why you're moving forward. So that's because you've taken the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He bestows this taste much before. And with this taste, with this experience, the devotee goes on taking, you know, his baby steps actually become bigger steps. Right? Actually become bigger steps. But one should not take that for granted also. So one should take inventory of what he has. Many times in the association of devotees, you know, like Hiranyakashipu, he became crazy with this. He says, Vishnu is the cause of my distress. You know, Asura means who's looking externally. You know? Asa means fast, who wants fast enjoyment. Ramante. You know? Asu, this Ra comes from Ramante. He wants this enjoyment very fast. And Asu also means in every breath. So who, in every breath, he's just looking for enjoyment. So when Hiranyakashipu comes running after Vishnu thinks, I had it this time. He's not going to leave me. But there's one thing, you know, because he's an asur, his vision is always placed externally. He's not going to look inside. So I will go and hide in his heart and he'll not be able to find me. Right? That is the vision of an asur. Right? So many times, even among devotees, we become so preoccupied, you know, in playing the blame game. No, it's because of him, you know, I'm suffering. It's because of this circumstance I'm suffering. And we become so focused on who's the villain in our life that we do not meditate on the actual hero. That's Krishna. That's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we miss the goal of life. Right? So we should not take, whenever the impetus is there to serve Krishna, we should take it quickly. You know, this is what actually Vibhishan is saying. Vibhishan in Ramayana is actually the epitome of surrender. Right? Sharanagati. So Vibhishan, when he goes, you know, he actually fights out with Ravan and says, no, I don't agree with what you're doing, you know, and I'm leaving this palace of yours. So what he does is he takes four of his companions and leaves and goes and asks Lord Ram. So first he actually approaches Sugriva. and says, you know, please take me to Lord Ram. And so Sugriv goes to Lord Ram and says, you know, Vibhishan has come. So the Lord Ram, you know, and all, he's surrounded by monkeys, but he's being generous. He says, okay, I want your opinion. So here we can see Lord Ram is even ready to take opinions from monkeys. Right? Devotee sometimes becomes so preoccupied, he says, no, I don't trust this one, I don't trust this one, I don't trust this one, you know, I have to really decide what I'm going to do for myself. But here Lord Ram himself is taking opinions of monkeys. He says, okay, what is your opinion? Should I give him? Should I really give him shelter? Can I have your opinions? And Sugriv says, no, we really have to be careful, because he's from the enemy camp, and we do not know what his motive is. He may have just come like a spy. But what we can do is probably we can, you know, engage him in service and just see how he behaves. And Lord Ram says, Hanuman, what do you think? You know, Hanuman gives a number of reasons actually. He says, my dear Lord, you know, I have personally seen, because Hanuman had got there, you know, and he saw that how he actually defended him. You know, so interesting point, because we are talking about the Ladini Shakti, you know. Hanuman, when he goes as Ramdut, you know, the Acharya says, so when he's going as Ramdut, what he gains? He gains the fire on his tail, right? His tail has been put on fire. That is what he's gained when he's taken shelter of Lord Ram and gone. But when he comes back, you know, he wants to tell Lord Ram this news. And he's really confused. How am I going to break this news to Lord Ram? He says, one word wrong and Lord Ram will not be able to maintain his life. I have to really be careful of how I'm going to present it to Lord Ram. You know, sometimes our intentions are good, but we really do not know how to do it. And that goofs up the whole thing. So here, Hanuman is very careful of the presentation too. So he's not just careful of the intention, but the presentation. So he says, you know, first, I have to really use a positive word. He says, mil gayi. Sita, mujhe. So first he says, I've got her, you know, mil gayi, I've really found. So when he says, I have found, Ram is, okay, you found it, you've done it. Yeah, Sita. Because he thinks, if I say Sita first, Lord Ram will think, you know, mili ki nahi mili? Did I get, was he able to find or no? Right? So he says, no, mil gayi. And he says, you know, me, he says, me, what me? Don't, you know, he'll get restless. Tell what is, don't say what you. What about Sita? So he was very careful of the whole presentation. So as soon as he says that, you know, Ram actually embraces him. So the Acharya says, now he has come as Sita Dut. That's why he's getting the embrace of Lord Ram. That is the potency of the Ladini Shakti. So as soon as the Ladini Shakti touches, the devotee's heart is filled with his happiness. And he can see what is actually happening in his life. He can actually perceive that. So this is what is happening. So one has to really be careful, you know, that how he has to be more focused on Krishna and the process of devotional service rather on the obstacles, right? And this actually comes by serving the devotee and the Lord himself. This is what is happening. Now when someone was asking yesterday about Uttam Shlok, and of course the meaning here is very obvious, but the mood is different, you know. Bali Maharaj actually is in Veera Ras. So we have the different mellows, and Rupa Goswami gives the different categories. So in Veera Ras there are four categories. You have Danaveer, and you have Yuddhaveer, you have Dharmaveer, and you have Danaveer. And in Danaveer, you have different categories. Dayaveer, sorry, that's the fourth one. And Danaveer, you have different categories. One is when one is completely merciful and is bestowing that charity to Krishna or for the auspiciousness of Krishna. And one is, so there are actually a lot of categories that are given, and I'll just read this through because it's very interesting how Rupa Goswami gives, and we can really appreciate what it has to do with this year. So just give me a second. Yeah, so here he's saying Danaveer is of two major categories. One is when one is munificent, he's very courageous in giving charity, and then he classifies that as two, that is Abhyudayika, when a charity is given by a Brahmin for the auspiciousness of Krishna, and he gives the example of Nand Maharaj. you know, when he's born and when he performed different festivals, he goes on giving charity to the Brahmins, and he gives it with such a heart that the Brahmins are forced to say, oh wow, this charity is, you know, has even surpassed the charity of so many previous kings, right? And then he says tat sampardana danak danavir, where he says there are again two subcategories, which he says Preeti Dan and Puja Dan. Preeti Dan is when one gives charity to Krishna out of love, and he gives the example of Yudhishthira Maharaj performing at the Rajasuya sacrifice. When Yudhishthira Maharaj is actually performing the sacrifice at the Rajasuya Yajna, he sees Krishna coming and his mind, he starts offering, you know, he starts actually anointing Krishna's limbs with sandalwood paste, he garlands him and starts, you know, giving his relatives, his friends in charity and his whole kingdom. And after that he becomes disappointed. He says, I have nothing to give anything else to Krishna. So this is in Preeti, this is out of love. And then he gives another subcategory, which is Puja Dan. So this is where he gives the example of Bali Maharaj. You know, in the first main category, the second category is renunciation, when actually a devotee is not expecting anything. Here, the devotee is giving the charity. In renunciation, the Lord is giving the charity. And he gives the example of Dhruva Maharaj, you know. What is happening is actually the devotee, when the Lord is trying to bestow him favors, he does not want any favor from the Lord except pure devotional service, and he's very careful about that. So he gives the example of Dhruv Maharaj, you know, when he says Swami Krithartusmi Varam Nayache, you know, I'm satisfied, I really don't want all this kingdom. So this is actually what is also happening in terms of Bali Maharaj here. He is in this virya ras, and now since the Ladri potency has glanced upon him, his heart is full. When he is speaking to Lord Vamandev, he is actually speaking in this Viraras, right? So Prabhupada gives this very beautiful definition of Krishna consciousness. He says, what is this Krishna consciousness? And he says, this comes I think in the Adi Leela or the Madhya Leela, I'm not really sure, I'm not able to remember. But he says, Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Prema Tattva Sar, Bhavat Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Leela Tattva. Says, and then he says, what is Krishna consciousness? He says, Krishna consciousness means to understand the truth. And what truth? The truth about Krishna, the truth about devotional service, the truth about the love of Godhead, the truth about the emotions involved in devotional service, the truth about the mellows of devotional service, and the truth about the pastimes of devotional service. So now when we understand the rasa that Bali Maharaj is actually going through, we can really perceive the Leela Tattva and the Krishna Tattva in greater focus. So the point here of Uttam Shlok is, yes, he's Uttam Shlok, but Bali Maharaj is actually being sarcastic. He is being very sarcastic to Vamandev. He says, yes, you are Uttam Shlok, and I can see how you are Uttam Shlok, right? You came and told me, firstly you came as a small dwarf. You know, you showed me your baby steps, your baby legs. And when you want, and you told me, no. And I told you, you know, ask something more. You said, no, only two steps. And I told you, I kept you telling, you know, please ask something more. You do not know what your goodness lies in. You do not know how to ask. You don't have that intelligence. You know, I can give you gold, I can give you cows, I can give you an own island. Right? Because the whole world belongs to me. And you're asking for two steps. And what did you tell me? You told me, no, a Brahmin should not ask something beyond his capacity. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. That's what you taught me, right? That's what you told me. But when it came to action, you just transformed yourself, right? You're a cheater, yeah? You're a cheater, and I should tell you Uttam? I should glorify you in the choicest words because you're a cheater? Because he's being sarcastic. And then he's saying that you are saying you're Uttam Shlok. You have defamed your devotees. You have defamed the Brahmanas. Because by acting in such a way, everybody will think the Brahmacharis cannot be trusted. The Brahmanas cannot be trusted. You know, they say something and they do something else. Right? And you want that I should glorify you with the choicest word? You are Uttam Shlok? So he's being sarcastic. And why is he being sarcastic to Vamandev? Because Vamandev before this has been sarcastic to Bali Maharaj. So this is the mirror that has been exchanged. Because Vamandev is telling to Bali Maharaj now. He's saying to him, hey, you told that, you know, you ask anything and, you know, I can promise you the world and and you're not able to even give me two steps. Where has your promise gone? Right? You were talking such big, and you were promising such big. What is it? Right? So he's being sarcastic to Bali Maharaj, and so in reciprocation, by choosing these words, Bali Maharaj is actually being sarcastic to Vamandev. He says, Uttam Shlok, yeah, I can see your glories, you know. It's not him. But he says, actually your glory is there. Because you are a cheater and you have cheated Indra, not me. Right? You have actually bestowed your mercy upon me. So, as the flow of the shloka goes, and we come to the shloka, this is what now, why the flow is like this, and the acharyas explain, and this is Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakri Thakur, where he says that, you know, he starts closing, oh, so are you fearful? Have you become fearful? This is what he is actually asking. So this is the first word that is being used here. He says, Bibemi, have become fearful. And so the acharyas explain here that he's actually saying to him, so is it that you have become fearful and that is why you are responding in such a way? He says, no, what fear do I have? I have no fear. I have become fearless because of your mercy. So Bali Maharaj actually already has, he's in the lineage of Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj has already bestowed his mercy. And because he has this darshan of Vamandev and the grace of Ladmi Potency, already the remaining arthas have been destroyed. You know? And because he has successfully, with his determination, overcome these obstacles, this quality of fearlessness has been bestowed. You know, Prabhupada writes in the first canto that what is the sign that a devotee has taken shelter of the Lord? He says the first sign is that the devotee becomes fearless. Right? He becomes fearless. That's the first sign that he has been touched by the Ladini potency of the Lord. His heart becomes filled with gratitude. That is what he says in Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. And in the first canto he says, and he becomes fearless. So we can see here that he actually becomes fearless. He says, no, what fear do I have? Fear of what? He says, yeah, probably fear that I'll sell, because Shukracharya has told, you know, he has cursed you. He has cursed you. So, you know, it's, if you see even in the past of my Prahlad Maharaj, how do these qualities actually come in a devotee? It's because, it's just like, you know, when an army person, you know, a soldier, goes to fight in a war, and he has to face many obstacles. For a sadhaka, when he's performing his sadhana, he has to face many obstacles. But with determination, he goes on fighting. And looking at this, you know, what is the, you know, after the soldier has really fought bravely, what does the government do? It bestows medals upon it, right? So similarly, when a sadhaka with determination carries on, what does the Lord do? The Lord actually bestows these qualities as medals upon him. Right? And because he bestows, these qualities are complete. It's not by his own endeavor. Right? His endeavor is very small. But because he's continuing with determination, the Lord bestows these qualities upon him. So he becomes fearless. He says, you're talking about fear? Why should I fear the curse of Shukracharya? Right? Why should I fear the curse of Shukracharya? I'm not fearful of that. And these ropes, right? These ropes I feel are not actually holding, but these are ropes of your affection. You have bound me by your love. So why should I be fearful? In fact, I'm overcome by gratitude. Right? And that's why he will start offering prayers. Of course, many more things, but the time is up. So this is what is actually happening in the whole pastime here, from the first to the third shlok, that we can see how Bali Maharaj is going to be transformed. You know, he's going to be transformed from being a devotee into a Mahajan. And we can see how this is actually happening. And seeing that how we can actually apply in our life, we can surely hope to have these experiences with the Lord. And definitely it's going to be there, you know. One of my services, you know, is to, as a Western outreach, is to get yoga groups. And Vrindavan is a common place that I get. And I remember that one of the yoga groups I got, and there was this person that I met. It said, you know, 30 years back, I'd been in a new bhakti training program in Boston somewhere. And Prabhupada was there. And I remember the one thing that he was always telling was about Vrindavan. You know, I stayed in the New Bhakt training program for about 3 months or so, and then, you know, I got this call for joining the war, you know, the Vietnam War, or some war was going on. I think it was the Vietnam War. And so I had to, you know, actually go in the draft. So I had to give up this devotional service, and it's been 30, 35 years since then. But it always struck in my mind that once in my life, I should go to Vrindavan. So though he had given up his devotional service, he was not, you know, doing it. But because it stuck, because it had spilled out from the heart of Prabhupada, it really struck in his head and heart both. So he said, I must come to Vrindavan. And it was with this determination, with this experience, which actually impelled his determination that he had come to Vrindavan. And he took up to devotional service. Yeah, he's chanting 16 rounds now. I still remember, you know, one of such persons who came, and we had just taken him to Haridwar, and I was just like glorifying Mother Ganges and saying, she's like a mother. So you can ask. You ask a mother, you know, that's the function of the Lagni potency. She acts as a mediator between the Lord and the devotee, and shows by her own example, you know, she bestows the grace in this way. So Mother Ganges is the internal personal potency of the Lord. See, she's like a mother, so you can ask, you know, just ask whatever desires you have, and she'll just fulfill it, but be careful. So many of these people actually started making prayers, and by next day itself, you know, I had four people telling me, our prayers are fulfilled. It really works. And I was like, really? And I have to still experience that, you know, happening so fast. But the point is, with such experiences, you can really move forward. And this is what is happening. This is what actually Bari Maharaj is telling you. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.